It almost seems to me like that's an opportunity for them to potentially lift themselves up to another level of income and quality of life, because their opportunities outside of these types of jobs are not as good.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Pursuit of Purpose. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie, and we are chatting with Tyler Riggs from Liberty Home Inspections. Thanks for joining us, Tyler.
Thank you for having me, Chris and Natalie.
So what I am most excited to talk about today is virtual assistants. I'm going to give my little preamble, but then I'm curious what, Tyler, your perspective is. But I first met Tyler in a coaching group here up in North Idaho that we were both a part of. And there were a couple other people that had talked about virtual assistants. And I was like, that just seems super risky, hard to do. Just, I don't like, maybe for some people, but I care about my brand and my reputation too much to do that. So I just personally was like, it kind of went over my head and I wasn't thinking about it. And I feel like you were in a similar place for a little while. You might describe it differently, but at some point, Tyler, you decided to like jump into that. And now I would say you've got a ton of experience and talked to lots of people and processes and everything. So how else would you like to frame this conversation?
I think that's a pretty good intro. I operate a small property inspection firm. We inspect homes and commercial real estate. And I got to a point where I was not able to have the hours in the day to talk on the phone all the time. It was kind of the driving factor for me to reach out. So I thought I'll find a soccer mom or somebody who wants to work remotely from home. And I put ads out on Craigslist and Facebook and was looking for basically an office manager who could work on scheduling, invoicing, pretty basic tasks that required nothing more than a laptop, maybe a headset and a cell phone, or even not a phone. You could just do everything virtually, I found out afterward, using voice over IP. So I put ads out looking for somebody local that I could give that person a laptop and a headset and get them set up. And after a few months of nobody biting that would work for us at an advertised pay offering of $20 an hour, I couldn't find anybody. There was nobody who was willing to work a consistent schedule for 20 bucks an hour. And I finally was like, well, you know what? Maybe we'll go virtual. So after talking to a couple other people in various industries, like mine and other industries, pretty much real estate adjacent stuff, I was like, well, let's just pull the trigger on it. So I looked into one of those placement agencies that hires virtual assistants in the Philippines. And I hired my first VA. It was about October of 21. So we're at about, I guess, 15 months now of having my first VA who's been with me the whole time. And then I hired a second gal to cover the weekends in July of 22. So I've had her for over half a year now as well.
So and Tyler, now the do next you think... thing really quick, Natalie. So before we dive deeper on Tyler, I'm curious if you could recap our own experience with Boolean. Mm-hmm. What was your first, I'm curious, just like the, and maybe Tyler, you could mention this too. Like when someone first told you virtual assistant, because people listening to this are going to be in that same headspace of like, what? Like, what do you mean someone overseas, like with a thick accent that is like unreliable? And what if they leave you? Like, what other thoughts or concerns did you have, Natalie? And when was the first time and who did you hear about this from?
Yeah, for Boolean, I think that with our industry in software being very much so a virtual industry, I don't think that it was outrageous for us to look somewhere outside of our geographical area. But overseas is obviously like another whole step. And that was actually what I was going to talk or ask Tyler about, you know, do you think real estate and home inspectors, they're kind of ahead on this trend just because they don't have a brick and mortar office oftentimes that they have to go to. So for us, not having to have an office place where we have someone that's physically coming to us to work with us made it seem like a pretty feasible possibility to get someone somewhere else in the country. I don't think I really heard a lot about specifically hiring from the Philippines until our business coach said he'd had some really, really great employees from the Philippines. And so after a lot of subtle prodding, like, hey, you should look into this, it was very much so one of those things that, Chris, you and I tend to do, which is just make a decision and take radical action. Fail fast if you're going to fail. And we just literally decided, let's post a job right now and just start talking to people. And what I found was a lot of my fears or concerns that it was, I was less concerned about someone having a thick accent and being unreliable. And I was more concerned about it being like maybe some sort of unethical hiring out of like a not great call center or something where they have really bad work conditions and you just expect really high turnover and you don't really get to know the people. That's what I was more thinking and concerned about. And when we found the specific site that we hired through, which was not an agency, it put a lot of those fears out of my mind because I began to see that it really, the relationship could be what you want it to be. So you could rely on a third party, or since that was my main concern, getting to dive in and interview people and meet people directly actually was hugely easing my mind that I was going to find a person that I was going to build a relationship with and make sure I was supporting them in their workspace and all of that.
So Tyler, do you, with what Natalie's saying, how much of that do you relate to? Or what other, because I guess it's interesting. I feel like I've had this conversation with countless people in our lives, like, hey, you should consider this. And I feel like everybody has the same type of fears or like in their own way. But yeah, what were yours, Tyler?
I had similar reservations when it comes to hearing somebody with a thick accent and not knowing how reliable that person would be being in on the other side of the world with sometimes unreliable internet connection and potentially juggling multiple jobs and wondering how reliable they'd be. But honestly, those are all just speed bumps that you have to get over. We were at a point where it was either grow or start to wither on the vine. So I had to pull the trigger and kind of ready, fire, aim with the VA. And my biggest concern was somebody's communication skills, because people in our part of the country are not used to hearing the thick accent that you might get from some people in the other part of the world. In bigger cities, it's everybody you talk to has a different accent from yourself. But around here, we all pretty much sound alike. So I knew that was going to be a hurdle to get over. So after kind of working through that with interviewing a zillion VAs and selecting four, communication skills being one of the biggest things, you know, that was important to me. And then I had a bunch of test calls. I had my VA, I worked through some scripts with her and had her talk to a bunch of people in the industry and do kind of dry runs and got their feedback on it. And they pretty much said, yeah, I mean, she speaks great English and, It was less of an issue than I thought. And even if it was a bit of a hiccup in some people's minds, it's necessary. I had to grow and I had to get somebody else on the phones because I didn't have the time to talk to everybody. And I was losing business by not reliably answering my phone as the technician, the manager, the owner, and the customer service representative. So all in all, it's gone swimmingly. But yeah, I had those same reservations and we had to come up with solutions. Like there were times when a big storm rolled through their part of the world and the internet was out for a few hours. Well, okay, so I answer the phones, right? They have backup internet providers and they have systems in place to try to prevent that. But you just, every problem that comes up, we come up with a solution for it.
So one thing that I'm curious about Because one of my other reservations was definitely cultural differences. And I was worried less about just, you know, how great is their English and more about what if they don't have the same expectations of a work environment as I do, or maybe they're not comfortable really directly telling me if something isn't working for them. What was some of the cultural barriers that you either anticipated or that you kind of ran into in the beginning that you had to work through?
Well, they don't get my Seinfeld jokes.
Pop culture. Yes. Yeah. Pop culture. That's true.
No, I think by and large, I did have those concerns as well, but they were somewhat unfounded. I found that the gals that I work with have exceptional work ethic. And even though I keep encouraging them not to, they keep showing up early and staying late and working through lunch. And I try to get them to stop, but they won't stop. There are things that we had to kind of have some discussions about with, in our industry, building science is what people have questions about, because we do property inspections and they don't build stuff the same way there. And they don't have the same processes and systems in real estate that we have here. So we had to kind of go over those things. But really, once they got an idea of how we operate and the flow of who we talk to and when we talk to them and for what reasons in this particular business, it was a pretty easy learning curve.
Yeah, I agree. One thing that I was concerned about was also just the time zone difference. How are we going to be able to communicate? And I realized, you know, it takes a little bit of flexibility from Chris and I with our time frame and like response time, but also in general, it's very easy to find VAs if it is something where they need to be available during certain hours. It's very easy to find VAs that are willing to accommodate specific hours for that work. So one thing that we've done is for our positions that are not really customer facing and they're not needing to talk to customers during the day, that's fine. Just, you know, project based, get your work done. And then of course, if you need to engage with someone on the East Coast or something like that, then you need to be awake at that time that they would be working. Obviously you have to have people answering phones during the working hours. Did you have any additional challenge in let's say hiring someone to cover a weekend, like you mentioned, versus those weekdays?
Yes. So a lot of the people that I interviewed they already had other VA jobs. So I had to select for somebody who didn't have another job, because when I went from one VA to two, I took my first VA, who then became my manager. She was working Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and switched her from Monday through Friday to Monday through Thursday, 4/10s from 8 to 7. And then hire the other gal to do Friday through Monday. They have an overlap day to catch up on stuff and talk about goals and what we're doing that week and do a couple other extra responsibilities. So finding somebody to cover that Friday through Monday was a bit of a challenge, because a lot of the people that work remotely in the Philippines have Monday through Friday jobs for some other company in the US. So I had to find somebody who didn't have another job. And really what it came down to was you got to pay them enough to incentivize them not taking another job. And then just like with jobs that you and I have had, right? There were jobs that I've had that absolutely sucked, but if they pay enough, I'll do it. And that makes it suck less.
You're willing to suffer a little bit for the pay. Yeah.
To address your concern that you mentioned a while ago about like working conditions, I found that I've heard horror stories from my VA and other people that have worked with VAs about the working conditions and the expectations of them in some of the bigger call centers when they're doing some sort of sales or tech support or things like that. It's abysmal, and the pay is really, really terrible. So when these VAs get an opportunity to work for a smaller organization like yours or mine, and we appreciate them and we pay them two times or three times what they can get paid for some of those bigger corporations, they really appreciate it. And it almost seems to me like that's an opportunity for them to potentially lift themselves up to another level of income and quality of life, because their opportunities outside of these types of jobs are not as good.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a myth that, and maybe it's not a myth because maybe there are plenty of large corporations that are doing this, but it's a myth that most VAs are making $2 or $2.50 an hour. If they're in those working conditions where they're in a call center and that's kind of the expectation of them, I can definitely understand why there's going to be high turnover and low trust and low vulnerability. But if, just like with any job, if there's a mutual understanding of, hey, we value you, you value us, we're going to, you know, respect that at that value and communicate if there are any challenges, I think it makes everybody feel more secure and it makes everybody appreciate, okay, this is a place where I can have opinions. And I would say that that was something that Chris and I had to learn definitely in hiring, is that we needed to make sure we were very intentional about expressing that gratitude, because many VAs have been pretty jaded and have just maybe had a job pulled out from under them or things like that. And we wanted to make sure they knew that we're not going to do that. And if there's an issue, we're going to talk to them about it. Right. Yeah, which may be something that we take for granted, but we needed to make sure to communicate that.
The other thing that I feel like a common thing that I've heard, and I'm curious if, obviously I don't actually know how many different people did you interview, Tyler, to get to the ones that you had?
I've probably interviewed 40.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to say, is that I didn't know if it was that high, but Natalie sifted through hundreds, literally hundreds of resumes, filtering for like stuff that met our criteria, and then did, was it 18, 20 minute Zoom interviews over 2 days, Natalie?
Oh yeah. For our first hire.
For the first hire. Yeah. And so the main thing that I feel like is that people that have bad experiences, they're treating it, in my opinion, this is my simplified explanation, they're treating it like a magic box that you just like put a quarter in and out comes like a great employee. And it's like, these are still, they're like, we're talking about working with humans, and humans need, like, not all humans are capable of the same tasks, and they don't have the same desires, and they don't have like, there's different qualifications. And so you need to treat the person that you're hiring the same way you would treat someone that you're hiring, you know, from your local town. And it's probably wise to interview, you know, I would say at least 10 people for a job. And if you, the more people that you have to interview, the better, because you obviously can filter those. But then after you hire that person, even from someone that you'd hire locally, if you found a soccer mom, let's say, or that, like, whoever that person was that could have fulfilled this role, you have to give that person training and then more training and then feedback on the training and then more training. And it's like it's not like, I just feel like people that struggle with the virtual assistant thing probably also struggle with just maintaining employees locally, or they don't realize it, but they have gotten lucky with some employees that they did have or something. But that to me is like the biggest thing to remember, is that interview a lot of people, be picky. If you get a bad feeling or like the vibes off with somebody, don't hire them, go to the next person. But,
I have a question on that. Tyler, what is your favorite go-to interview question? What do you feel like is just super revealing in an interview?
Specifically in the VA realm?
I would say in general, what do you like to ask?
I kind of come up with a lot of them on the fly, and I like to ask questions that are, it gets me acquainted with their personality, that are not specifically work related. Like, It could be some of those classics, like what's your favorite color and why, or if you were any prehistoric animal, what would it be, or, you know, any sort of question that gets them to move away from their canned responses and the script they have laid out and have a conversation with me.
Yeah.
But just depending on the direction of the interview, I kind of come up with one on the spot.
I am someone that in my interviews, it's like, what's the last three books you've read? What do you do for fun? What scares you? Just like, I just want to know, like, are we going to be able to get along as like conversationally? I'll look at your resume or your portfolio to see what you're capable of. But yeah, I completely agree with you. Go ahead, Natalie, share some.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm a little bit nicer about it compared to Chris. I would say, what is the last book that you read? Just one. And then Chris was like, you're not asking them their last three. And I am a pretty avid reader and I could not tell you the last three books I've read. I am focused on the one and I lose everything else. And so if I was being interviewed, I would probably freak out at that moment. So that's a hard one. I do like asking, when was the last time you failed? Because it gives you a little bit of insight into how they view failure. And then I've also had a number of people that I interviewed where they were like, yeah, I just didn't meet some deadlines and I just didn't turn stuff in. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a red flag.
Some of those interviews
that I conducted. It's okay to fail. It's not okay.
It's okay to fail. It's not okay to be okay with failure.
Yeah, it's not okay to refuse to learn from it.
Yeah.
Because we're okay with failure as we learn and grow.
Some of my interviews with VAs stretched on to like 30 minutes, and some of them were 90 seconds. And I just knew off the bat, this is not going to be the right personality type for me. It's not going to work out well. There are people that are highly qualified for every position, but if they just don't like the cut of your jib, it's not the right fit.
Yeah. So the other thing I'm curious about is like, what are some mistakes or advice you'd have on, hey, you know, if I were to go back and do this again, like, here's my top three, or like, I would have done this, or I should have done this, or whatever. What would you say to a business owner, that's considering doing this?
You can save yourself a lot of your time and hassle and stress and a lot of your VA's time, which equates to dollars. On your account, if you spend a lot of time and energy on developing clear expectations and what are the roles and responsibilities of the job, because the first time around, I had a basic idea, but I didn't have the whole position fleshed out yet. And we kind of had to learn together. And I think that helped kind of build a good working relationship between us, because we were able to learn things that I hadn't predicted together, but I could have saved myself weeks of training had I developed those expectations and a clear roles and responsibilities sheet up front.
Well, the other thing I would say is that, if you give, might not work for all people, but if you give clear expectations up front, like, hey, I need help answering the phones, I know that we need to systemize and make processes for this. I don't have them yet, but I've got this sort of rough framework that I spent last night creating. And I would like part of your job to be to articulate and do the best you can at summarizing what it is that I'm even asking of you and trying to make it more of a system. That also can't, like, there's been a handful of times where, we hired one of our VAs, helps with a lot of the automation work that I do. And, we've been doing this for a while, and I had told him, like, I want him to take initiative and just organize stuff. So he's like organized by number, like all of our, like these core automation processes. So they're all like 4.1, 4.2, 4.3, 5, 6, 7, 8.1, like all these things that are so much more detailed than I ever would have considered putting into it. And then just last week it was like, hey, this is getting very complicated to explain to somebody. Can you make me a flow chart of how all this works? And so he gave me a version, like a flow chart that he made in the software. And I was like, nice. And now we're iterating on it. It's not done, but it's just like the initial again, it, I think it just comes back to articulating what you want clearly, and people are able to work with you on that, you know?
Yeah, it can become overly complex when people are eager to please, because they want to do things right. But, you know, there's also a balance between what's a meaning of an efficient use of your time versus the finished product.
Yes.
And Chris, very rightfully so, challenged me to just be extremely transparent in hiring for every new position we've hired for, and just explaining that we are a startup, and we don't mean that in like a dirty word. We're not unstable or not secure, but what we are is a really small team. And so all of these roles are brand new roles for an individual. They're all things that we've just been doing collaboratively. And so Chris told me, you know, tell them that they have ownership over this in really clearly defining what is it that's working and not working, and giving us that feedback. Like, we didn't want to convey that we had a perfect process, because we definitely needed them to help us in perfecting processes. And it's been amazing with like giving some free rein, what we've gotten in return, where we're like, that is such a better way to do that than we had been doing for years.
Yeah.
It's been amazing.
I completely agree. Natalie, I'm curious if you have, what would be your like step-by-step instructions? Have you thought about that?
I have, and partially because the business coach I referred to earlier gave me his, which was such a phenomenal starting point. But yeah, the site that I recommend that has been really, really fruitful for us is onlinejobs.ph. And it's specifically hiring not just VAs, but hiring specific skilled employees from the Philippines. The great thing is that it's not through an agency, and it's actually not even like the site itself isn't an agency or taking any fee. You're basically just paying them a monthly subscription like you would at LinkedIn or something to get like premier or premium access to post a job and get applications.
Yeah, it's kind of like the way that Craigslist jobs works. You pay
$25
to post a job. $60, yeah.
It was $60 for a month, and it does not take more than a month of a job being posted to get responses. I think it took me 2 days where I was like, whoa, I need to somehow slow this down because it was so many people. But so onlinejobs.ph. The next thing I did was pretty quickly had, like, if it was someone that met my criteria, I had a link for a calendar already set up to where I just said, hey, I like what I'm seeing. Grab a 20-minute slot on my calendar. And I sent that to 15 to 20 people for a given job posting. And then I just had two or three really, really packed days of conversations. And in those conversations, I had like four or five criteria, depending on the position, where I was taking notes, but I also just at the end of every call, so I wouldn't get overwhelmed with trying to remember, I scored them a 1 out of 5 or 1 through 5 on each of the 5 things that I thought was most important. So if it's someone that's speaking a lot with your customers, they need to have very fluent English. If it's someone that's a technical role, maybe their English on the phone isn't that big of a deal. So then it's more of like technical skills. So I kind of had that so that then when I was done, I could look back and very clearly say, okay, the personality from this person, this was really good, but they had these, you know, these criteria. And then I did a second interview just with like 3 to 5 where I had a clear head and I was able to not just kind of high level be filtering, but to really then dive into more of like the job description. And at that point, it felt pretty clear to me. Maybe it was one, maybe it was two people where I was like, I don't feel like I could go wrong with these one or two.
Thank you, Tyler. But yeah, thank you for sharing all your experience. And this was fun. And hopefully people got value out of this. And yeah, we'll see you all next time.
Thank you for your attention and listening to this episode of The Pursuit of Purpose. Your feedback and comments mean the world to me. If you liked what you heard, please take a second, leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. If you've got suggestions for future episodes or just want to say hi, shoot me an email at chris@chriskiefer.com. Don't forget, I make it a point to include all the links to the books, movies, and resources mentioned on this episode in the show notes. You can see those directly below in the description or on my website, chriskiefer.com. Thanks so much, guys.